Well, we are continuing our series looking at our spiritual gifts, our spiritual DNA, the ways that God has designed us for particular ministry roles so that they are life-giving, not life-draining. We've already talked about the spiritual DNA for leading, the DNA for prophecy or truth-seeking. We have talked about last week, Carol shared about the spiritual DNA for compassion or for mercy, and which is seeing the face of God in your neighbor. And this week, I just may have intentionally lined up Mother's Day with the spiritual DNA for encouraging. And why is that? Well, I have defined encouraging as the spiritual DNA to support, strengthen, counsel, and help others develop. Let me say that again. The spiritual DNA to support, strengthen, counsel, and help others develop. That's what encouraging means. And that sounds like a lot of how many of us experience our mothers. Not everyone. I know there are a few people here who have had very different experiences growing up, but that's kind of the positive cliche of mothers, right? That they're your biggest fan. For instance, I started teaching myself to play guitar when I came here to Littleton about 3 years ago, and now I'm to the point where I can play at a slightly below average level. But what I lack in skill, at least I can make up for in gusto. So this year, I have been learning, you know, two or three songs a month, trying to learn, you know, new ways of playing or how to have more emotion in the singing as I'm playing. And I'm not comfortable sharing those very widely. You will not get those recordings from me. But you know who always gets a copy of the recording? My mom. And why? Because she will never tell me, oh, that stunk. And so I can try to expand my guitar playing abilities and send something to her, even if it's not great, because I know it will be accepted. That is a great example of one kind of encouragement, providing acceptance so another can grow and develop and try to get better without judgment. So thinking about my mom encouraging me, I thought Mother's Day would be a good place to talk about the spiritual DNA for encouraging. By the way, Mom, if you're listening, a sermon mention more than makes up for the fact that I forgot to send you flowers this year. Just kidding, she got the flowers too, don't worry. So that's one kind of encouragement, providing the judgment-free zone. But encouragement is a much broader term than that. And to learn more, we'll turn to our text today. This is Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. Paul only had a few weeks to form this church, maybe as few as 3 weeks to start this church before he was chased out by some angry Jewish leaders. So he had to send them extra instructions later on, two different letters that we still have, to help them establish and grow in their faith. And here's what he writes about interacting with each other to this newly formed church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord, and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. But be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, just this last week, I had lunch with Jory Bain. He was up front with the mission team last Sunday, Child of the Church. And he shared something that he had just read about encouragement. And the author of this book said that every person has deep-seated inner fears. And we typically put up layers upon layers upon layers of shells around those fears. So usually, when we are trying to encourage someone, what's really happening is that our outer shell is saying something to their outer shell. But true encouragement is being able to sense that deeper level, that deeper inner fear, and to speak to it. Kind of reminds me of a scene from the movie Good Will Hunting. Don't worry, I'll clean it up for the church, language-wise. And Matt Damon in this movie plays the troubled genius Will, and Robin Williams plays Sean, the court-appointed counselor trying to help him. And there's a scene near the end of the movie, and so after Sean and Will have finally developed trust with each other, and they're talking about their experiences, each of them, of being abused, in this case by their fathers. Will says his father would place a wrench and a stick and a belt on the table and say, pick one. Being stubborn, Will always chose the wrench. And Robin Williams' character, Sean, the counselor, steps closer and says, Will, all of this, looking at the pictures of him after his experience with the wrench, it's not your fault. Yeah, I know. No, you don't. It's not your fault, Will. Yeah, I know. No, you don't. It's not your fault, Will. Stop messing with me, Sean. Not you. I'm not messing with you. And it's not your fault. And finally, Will breaks down in tears, hugging Sean as he finally is able to admit that deep-seated inner fear. Sean got past the shells and saw what was really going on and was able to speak encouragement to it. That is a deeper kind of encouragement. And I think that lines up with our verse today, because it doesn't talk about encouragement as just a bunch of attaboys. I mean, that's in there. It says to esteem everyone highly, but it also says to admonish. And that means, you know, giving a word of warning or giving someone something to keep in mind to get better. That's not just a pat on the back. My brother and I joke that if we want to know if one of our ideas actually is terrible, you can't send it to Mom, because she's always going to say, I love you. She's never going to say, that stinks. She's going to find something in there that was at least halfway decent, and that's what she'll comment on. That's what makes it me able to send those guitar things to her earlier. But if I really want to get better at something, when I really want to know what stinks, that's what brothers are for. So when my fear is not being accepted, my mom's encouragement is best. But when my fear is failure or doing a bad job, my brother's feedback, whether it's esteem or admonishment, I at least know it's true, that's better in those kinds of situations. And he can do the same with me. That's encouraging, because I can rest assured knowing that I've at least gotten a little bit better because of his feedback. But also, encouragement isn't all about just helping people change or get better either. The text says to be at peace, to be patient. So it's not all action. In our staff meeting this last week, we were watching a video about, you know, leading yourself. And the teacher in the video was talking about the need to have a sustainable pace and invest in your own mind, soul, body, and strength as you pursue the Lord. And one of our staff members commented how hard it is to find time, you know, to do those things. And so in the spirit of encouragement, I said, we'll be docking your pay until you do. Oh, wait, no. Encouragement, in that case, wasn't cram more in. It was be at peace. If you're already too full, encouragement doesn't say add more in. Be at peace. Pick your spots. Don't try to cram more in. When the fear is not having enough time or the fear is being overwhelmed, encouragement says be at peace, not cram more in, having to see to that deeper level. But also, lest we think encouragement is just about saying the right thing, our text today says help the weak. It says to do good. So sometimes there's action involved in encouragement. When I was in youth ministry too many years ago, the gray hairs are starting to appear, it was often so important to the students that someone would show up from the church to their sporting event or to their concert or to see them act in plays, even if a student was on, you know, like the backstage crew and you never saw them and they never saw you. If you showed up to see the play that they helped create, that was an encouragement to them. But encouragement isn't just about behavior either. Verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. So if we think encouragement is telling someone you missed a spot over and over and over again, probably that's not actually encouraging. For instance, at one of my previous churches, we had a man who strongly disliked how we did music during communion. It irked him greatly. And so the first few times he shared that concern, you know, we took it back to the team and talked about the concern and then came, you know, got back to him saying, well, we understand your concern, but here's why we're doing what we're doing, and we're gonna keep doing that. But, you know, thank you very much for sharing. And that was the end of the story, right? Yeah, no. Every single week, for years, we would hear the same critique every time we did communion. And at some point, you just like don't want to see that person approaching you on Sunday, right? It's like, yeah, I know what you're going to say. I've heard it 154 times by now. That is what it means to quench the spirit. When someone doesn't even want to see you coming because they don't want to hear what you're going to say, that's when you've quenched the spirit within someone. When you're wearing people down with your opinions, that is no longer encouragement, it's just being annoying. And that is not actually on the list of spiritual gifts for some reason. In Ephesians 6, we actually see this applied to parents. It says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I can say this from experience. It is pretty easy to have your kids think that their names are no or please stop. But that quenches the spirit if that's all they hear. I've shared this before. I've heard it said, you know, it's better to catch someone doing something approximately right. It'll never be exactly the way you want it. So settle for approximately right, rather than constantly telling them where they're wrong. I mean, imagine if I'm telling you how to drive to my house, and here's the instructions I give you. Don't take Bellevue, that's the wrong direction. Don't take Santa Fe, too much traffic. Don't take Windermere, doesn't go all the way through. Don't take Broadway, there's road work going on there. And don't take University, you've gone too far if you get there. See you later. You're going to be able to make it to my house? Probably not. Maybe I didn't want you to come to my house. So if all we do is tell people what not to do, you know, sometimes you need the actual streets to take to tell someone the encouragement of where they're getting in the right direction. Celebrate that. So if we review here, encouragement isn't just endless praise. It isn't just endless ideas on how someone else can get better. It isn't all about just behavior. Encouragement is seeing past someone's outer shells, noticing what really matters to them right now, and speaking to that core fear or aspiration. And so it looks different every time. But that's what it looks like when you have the spiritual DNA to support, strengthen, counsel, and help others develop, is you have that ability to see through those outer shells. Jesus did this all the time. When his disciples were worried what happens after death, tells them, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. When they were worried about leading pointless lives, he came to them and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. When they were worried that they weren't going to have a role to play because Jesus could obviously do everything himself, he sent them out two by two on their own to minister in his name. He knew how to speak to their inner core. And so for all of us, as parents, as leaders, as co-workers, as friends, as sons or daughters, when you're trying to encourage someone, try to think more deeply about why they are doing or thinking or feeling the way they are before you decide the best way to encourage them. And if you need some ideas, our text says, pray without ceasing. Ask God for that kind of insight. Ask the Holy Spirit for the words to say or the actions that will speak louder than words. That applies to all of us. But if you have taken the spiritual gift assessment, the spiritual DNA assessment, and you see that you've got encouraging as one of your top three, here's a few extra tips. Just like we did with the other spiritual DNA, a few tips for you if that's one of your strong points. If you have that spiritual DNA for encouraging, one role you might find fulfilling on a team is by being a recruiter. That might be finding more volunteers for the ministry and maybe helping expand how many people benefit from the ministry, but the encourager can sense you know, I feel like Tim over there is ready to make a difference, and our ministry would be a way he would feel like he's making a difference. I'm going to invite him to be a volunteer. Or the encourager can notice, you know, we had 3 new guests this week. They could benefit from this ministry. I'm going to invite them. Now, you may think that everyone else notices those things, but I can at least tell you that I don't. A bunch of people here don't notice the things that you do, because that's your spiritual gift. That's your spiritual DNA. That's how God designed you. Other people have a hard time seeing past those outer shells we've developed. That's why we build those outer shells, so people can't see through them. And if you can see to that deeper level, you're uniquely gifted for that. I mean, sometimes I get that guidance. I call those prayer matches, when God gives me names to randomly fill a ministry spot or a volunteer role perfectly. Sometimes I don't even think they're a good fit. But I have learned that if the Holy Spirit gives me some names, I should go ahead and follow through with that, because the Holy Spirit hasn't missed so far, batting 1,000 on the prayer matches, and I cannot claim the same batting average when I'm doing it on my own. It's almost like God is more insightful than I am. But if you have that spiritual DNA for encouraging, it's likely that you get that kind of guidance frequently, that kind of prayer matches a lot more frequently if you actually think about, pray about, who could benefit from this ministry, or who could be a part of, enjoy being a part of this ministry. You're likely to get that way more frequently than I am. Use that in a ministry you care about, and watch what the Holy Spirit does. That's one good way to use your gift of encouraging. But I'll also admonish you and share one potential weakness of the spiritual DNA for encouraging, and that is the temptation to operate just from your opinions rather than what the Holy Spirit is actually saying. It is an essential skill for encouragers to learn to listen for the Spirit's confirmation rather than thinking that every opinion, everything you might want to share is the gospel truth. Our text today says, do not despise the prophets. Don't forget the scriptures. Don't forget to go back and check with God and see what God has said in scripture. And see what God wants to say to you through prayer. Stick close to God, not just your own opinions. Because a prayer match is only a prayer match if the prayer match was part of a prayer, right? Say that 3 times fast. So the spiritual DNA for encouraging isn't just a bunch of attaboys, and it's not just a bunch of you missed spots either. Encouragement is the ability to see past the outer shell, to see what really matters to someone right now, and to speak comfort or admonishment or peace to that inner motivation. And the goal of that encouragement is to support, to strengthen, to counsel, to help someone else develop. Now, we can all do that in our lives. But if that's part of your spiritual DNA, I encourage you, see what I did there? To use your ability to see more deeply into other people's motivations. Because God designed you to use that ability in ministry, to build others up, to help others join a ministry they would love, or to find a ministry that would serve that deep need within them. But as you use that ability, make sure you're always checking your opinions with Scripture and with prayer. What could the Holy Spirit do in our midst if we weren't just operating on the surface? What could the Holy Spirit do in our midst if, through prayer, we connected deeper to what really matters to people in their lives right now? That's what the spiritual DNA for encouraging can unleash in our church. And that sounds exciting to me. And I hope it does to you as well. Amen.